Hello there and welcome to this episode of the Disaster Podcast. This is your host, Sam Bradley. We have Jamie Davis here, but we couldn't fit him at the table, so he's over there working. We got the usual crew that we don't always get to see live and in person, and they've been very busy today. Jim Logan, Dr. Joe Holly, and we have another guest, Meredith Walker, who we're going to talk a little bit about that thing you guys do through Paragon Medical Education. And one of the things they do is they have a wonderful cadaver lab, which we talked a little bit, but not for a while. And I actually went up and interviewed a few people today and talked to them about their experience with the experience, which is what they call it, and they don't know what that is yet. So we're gonna talk a little bit about
surprises.
That. So how did it go today?
It was a great day. The students were a lot of fun, very engaged. I think we learned a lot of cool stuff, and we had a great time doing it. So it was very positive.
So Jim, for those that aren't initiated here, give them a little overview of what the experience is all about.
Well, this particular model, the human procedure lab, is what we like to refer to it as. It's a place where students can come, they can look at and use the products that are out here on the showroom floor here at Jim's, and get a comfort level. These are products that they use at home, but not very often. Don't have that comfort level. And traditionally, we're taught on plastic models, heads, simulators, those kind of things, which is totally different than human tissue, as you find out when you get in the field. And so the student has a appreciation when they leave of how the products work on the human tissue.
So Joe, I noticed when I popped in on you today, you were showing them tourniquet,
mm-hmm.
how to use a tourniquet. What other skills did you work on today?
So we have actually a hemorrhage control station that incorporates everything from the most simplest approach to hemorrhage control of pressure points and all that sort of stuff, and talking about some of the weaknesses there that I think people don't appreciate very well. But we incorporated some new products like the IT clamp. We incorporated multiple different styles of tourniquets, and we spent a fair amount of time actually talking about while the device itself is really not very hard to use, there are some really important subtleties of how it's used that make it much faster to put on and make it actually work so you don't have to pull the thing all down because you didn't get it tight enough or whatever. That was all incorporated in part of what they were looking at, just how to do that and how to really do that very quickly and very fast.
And I still remember the very first one you did. I went up there to get some still shots, and you were doing basic BVM, I mean basic bagging, and the looks on the faces of the students, of course they have masks on so you can't really see their face, but their eyes were like, whoa. I thought, if he could impress them that much doing a BVM skill, then I am really impressed.
The difference with it, with his using the BVM, is that you have an open chest cavity. We don't get that in the real world. When we're bagging, we have to see through all the muscles and all the ribs how much force it takes for that chest to rise. And it's not as much as what they were teaching us. You know, when you bag, you can actually see the raw lungs right there and how much you inflate and how little effort it truly takes to do that. So as a medic or even a nurse, like, that's just extremely eye-opening. It's not something you can see every day.
And you're a medic and a nurse.
Yes.
So you can see that from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing, and that's something you can't even really see on a mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
But I did talk to a couple people today, and please expand on that, Meredith, when we talk about it. But the first guy I talked to had been a medic about 3 years. And this was his second time here.
And second time in the cadaver lab?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
Oh, that's...
We love repeat business.
Oh, it gets better.
Wow, fantastic.
But this young man said when he first came here, he was having a lot of problems with intubation, was not being able to intubate successfully, nearly hardly ever. After the lab, he has never missed a tube since that lab. And I said, what do you think it was? He said it was the ability to do it on a real person because it just wasn't working for him to do it on a mannequin. So I think you will be seeing him again.
Absolutely. I think what it's all about is education, right? It's not traditional. It's dynamic. We have the three stations. But it's about it's not about... We're blessed to be in this environment here at EMS today and have these products here. But most of these providers have these in their toolbox every day. They're just not used, so there's no comfort level. So we give them the education, the background on the material, so they can gain a comfort level, like the gentleman with the intubation issue. So he said he was going to come back next year for his refresher course, if you will.
Well, and that's it, because everybody I've talked to has said they definitely want to come back. And a good example is the young lady you brought out to me. Now, this lady's been in EMS for a long time. She's an educator, and some of us that have been educators sort of fall into that, gee, I already know everything mode. And she said, I learn something new every time I hear. She was very enthusiastic about something she learned about the bougie that she can't wait to go back and tell her students about. Yeah, she's very enthusiastic. But I said, so what do you think in terms of encouraging educators to do this? And she says, I think it's fantastic because you can't come here and not learn something new. And for educators to actually learn something new is pretty exciting and something you can go back and share with students and other providers. So she has not missed one.
Wow,
she has been to every one.
Wow.
And I think she's going to be at probably all the rest of them you ever have, as long as she's still in the field. So, well, tell us a little more about your experience, Meredith. What do you think?
Well, the great thing about Paragon is that the opportunities they bring through the experience, exactly what the keynote speaker is talking about today, on performing those high-risk, low-frequency skills that you should be training on every single day. We can train on them, you know, at the station and mannequins and actually get our hands on the equipment. We can't train every day on cadavers and stuff like that. So it gives us that opportunity to really practice and train and be proficient with those skills. And as technology is changing, now you have video laryngoscopes, which we didn't have a couple years back, you can take your time in a controlled environment, but with real tissue and actually learn the techniques. Like, I know Andrew was teaching at the airway station, you know, where back in the day when you go to intubate, you just go too far, you go too deep and stuff like that. It's a different technique that you have
to use. Yes.
And you can read it in a textbook, you can be told it, but until you actually put your hands on the tools, with the cadaver right there, you're not gonna, you have to do that muscle memory. You gotta teach yourself to do exactly what Gordon was talking about today. And this is the opportunity through the experience that we get, and it's embedded now in our memory.
So, Joe, in terms of vendors, how do you find those vendors that have tools that you'd like to use in the lab?
Well, I think I'm going to back up just a second, because when you told me about the kid with the airway thing earlier, I got a chill over that. I really did.
Oh,
I
mean, that's
it's like,
awesome.
Wow.
That's why we do it.
That's exactly why we do it.
But the thing is, you guys don't get that feedback all the time.
Well, they say that to you, but, boy, it sure is nice to hear it when they're not talking right to you, right, and going, yeah, you're really terrible. It's just, it makes me feel really good to know that we're really making
That's
a difference
good.
Like that. So on to your question, and that really is about, you know, I think for us it's looking for the stuff that Meredith just touched on. It's those high-frequency, high-risk skills. It's especially skills that tend to be taught in sort of a very superficial way. Let me show you how to put a tourniquet on, right? You wrap it around, you pull it tight, and you crank this thing down, and it works. It doesn't.
Does it?
It doesn't work that way. And there are a great many, very subtle, so simplistic you would never know it. But if you don't slow down and actually go, wow, you know, I put that thing on like they showed me, and there's still blood squirting out the end of this thing. It didn't work. And then start thinking about that in terms of, well, I put that on, and I appreciated that I've turned the windlass a few times and it hasn't stopped. So now I've got to take it all back down and do it all over again. And by the time you've sort of finally got it right, it's been 7 or 8 minutes, right? So much for your rapid hemorrhage control.
That's a long time.
You've been messing around here for 10 minutes, and those three other people have already bled to death. So it's a matter of kind of breaking those skills down and looking for products that fit the need and are in use all the time, but are poorly understood about the nuances. And the more I do this, the more I really appreciate that the many things that we do are all about the subtleties. It's very subtle stuff that in the big picture makes a huge difference. Which way do you put a tourniquet on? Do you put the strap over the top? You put the strap under the bottom? Which way do you go? It makes a difference in how quickly you can put that tourniquet on.
But to Meredith's point as well, so just the simple head tilt, chin lift, and the bag valve mask, and the subtlety of hyperextending the neck too much.
Another great example.
You can't appreciate that until you see that in that environment.
on a person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that big fat mannequin head just doesn't.
It's not going to do it.
It doesn't comply.
It's not gonna do it,
so. Were you running actually running through it, or how did you? Were you able to simulate the actual?
Oh, we have actual flow in the extremities, and you got to put that tourniquet on until you get that flow to stop.
That's the lesson right there. Otherwise, you're leaking all over the place.
So I think part of what the lab is all about is finding ways to push that feedback right to the student immediately, and that realism piece that really makes a difference. So, you know, when you're in a tactical environment, for example, and you've got somebody, you know, bleeding out and you're putting a tourniquet on it, I mean, you're thrashing it around trying to get that thing under control, and obviously the issue is, wow, it finally stopped bleeding. But, you know, at the same time, I've spent 19 minutes messing around with this thing trying to get it to work, and our goal is to pull you back away from that and go, well, it's okay. You're not going to hurt anybody in here. Let's work on those subtle little pieces to make this thing go like it's supposed to, so you look like the professional that you are.
Well, and a couple things you reminded me that I heard today was very low stress. You're with a small group. You're with somebody who's going to give you that immediate feedback. And that's why some of these people were able to probably master these skills that they had been skitsy about, because maybe somebody was breathing down their neck.
Sure.
So I've heard that from a couple people, that it's very low stress, and they always feel they walked away being much more successful.
Well, that's wonderful. And I think that's part of the same issue, is most of those skills that we're working on are high-level, high-intensity skills that in the real world are never low-stress skills, right? You got to get an airway now. You got to get bleeding under control now. And there's never an opportunity to kind of go, yeah, I think I'll take about 10 minutes and do this just so and so and so and so. That opportunity doesn't exist. And so you never really get an opportunity to slow down long enough to appreciate, you know, if I just move this a little bit that way, this would be a whole lot easier.
The other twist of it, too, is that you can go in and innovate and practice a couple of times with the techniques they've taught you in that low-stress environment, but then they can put you down. I know they were doing it, like, in the dark and stuff like that, having it innovate in a different position and everything. That's a new environment. That automatically puts stress on a new medic not used to that. So that kind of gives you that real-life simulation, too, where you're like, okay, I know I'm in a controlled environment, but let me kind of move fast to see what would I do in this situation, because my reaction in the field's going to be, okay, I got to move fast again. So it's repetition and making sure, okay, this hand, this here, these are my landmarks over and over in that environment, which is great.
When somebody said something about, yeah, we had to do something in a very small space, I said, you realize you're working with two USAR people.
Yeah.
You know, this is what they do. They do these skills
like
that are difficult enough in very small spaces.
Well, we used to crawl in them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point.
We have people that do that.
Well, you don't do that anymore?
No, I'm too old.
Oh, yeah. Get out. You are not. So what about the vendors, though, Joe? I think we got off track.
Yeah,
How do you encourage the vendors to...
So that's part. We were actually just out, you know, wandering the floor out there looking at products that are showing up. And so much innovation in the industry. And just looking through all those products and sort of trying to identify products that we think meet a need, especially a need that's poorly managed currently through our current techniques or procedures or products, and try to pull those things into the lab. And we also were looking for, so this is a product that lots and lots and lots of people are using. It must be really good. Mm-hmm. Let's compare that product to the other products that are in the same genre, and let's figure out what's better about that one than that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of what we identified today is that there's one tourniquet that works really great on the arm, and there's a different one that works really great on the leg. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with how the tourniquet's designed and what it's designed to do. So it's not anything anybody would ever think to ask when they're going to buy a tourniquet, but when you get a chance to play with them in that real-world environment, the students come away going, you know something, I didn't like that one on the leg, but it was great on the arm. Mm-hmm. And why was that different?
Mm-hmm. Right. And having the variety of products there, because funding is different for every department and what they need to carry with their medical director and everything, but since they have a variety, you can kind of choose, like, okay, for bleeding control, we're going to try this tourniquet, but no, we can afford that. Maybe we can afford using this product over here. Let me try this product now, so they can actually practice with what they have in the field as well.
Much try before we buy when it comes to that stuff, does it? We get somebody fast talking how great it is, and we buy it, and then find out it isn't.
Or we try it on a piece of plastic.
Exactly.
That they brought you that's all set up for their product to work on.
And I got to mention, you have the greatest team. I'm going to embarrass Rhett sitting over there. I love this guy. He has the greatest personality. I mean, this guy's a one-man show. And even though he's educating people, he does it in a way that is just, it's fascinating. They're not a boring bunch at all. Just
no,
all.
I think we really love what we do. Yeah. And we really just enjoy interacting with the students. And it's meant to be low stress. We learn from them. I picked up a couple of really cool points today that I'm going to throw in the next lab.
So one last question, because we only got a few minutes. But what's in the future for the experience?
You got some new ideas? So it's like the sequel to the movie, right? We have plans to do something really exciting next year at EMS Today.
You hear that?
Can't say what it is, but it may involve a little stress. Stress is good. So it's going to be very innovative, very unique, and I hope you guys come out for it.
All right. So, Joe, where do we find out more about the experience and just Paragon in general?
So Paragon is on the web at paragonmedicalgroup.com, as well as our Facebook page by the same name, and our Twitter handle is ParagonMedEDU.
And Jim, where do they find you?
You can find me in the same place.
Other than in Memphis.
That's it.
Working hard.
You can go right on the web and find me as well, right there.
And Meredith, do you want to throw out any social media info in case they have questions for you?
I don't have any, but with the city of Castleberry in Orlando, so they can reach me via my email, mwalker@castleberry.org.
Very good. And I'm Sam Bradley, SamBradley11 at most social media places, and certainly on the disasterpodcast.com. And we have Jamie over there, the Pod Medic. You can find him at the Pod Medic in most places, and certainly at MedicCast.com. So we'll leave you for now, and we will be back later. This is going to be a great conference. This is only the first day, but I wanted to catch these guys while we had them. So tune into the podcast, please. When you do, leave some questions for all of them. We're glad to answer your questions. We've gotten some good ones lately. And remember this, that disaster medicine is not your everyday medicine.